Well, as you travel across the United States, this great country of ours, there are several sites in our country that are considered sacred ground. If you were to travel to Washington, D.C., you may visit a place called the Vietnam War Memorial. The Vietnam War Memorial is a national monument located there in our nation's capital that honors members of the U.S. Armed Forces who have died in their service or unaccounted for during the Vietnam War. On this wall there in Washington, D.C., there are 58,195 names inscribed on this memorial wall. And that wall stands today and exists today so that future generations will never forget the sacrifice that was paid in the past. You may travel to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Maybe you've been there before. Tomb of the Unknown Soldier stands in Arlington Cemetery to honor the memory of men and women who have given their lives in battle, but who were never able to be identified. And that monument stands today, again, so that future generations like us and ones that come after us will never forget the sacrifice of those who came before us. You may travel to New York City, to Ground Zero. I don't know how many of you have been able to be there since September 11th. How many of you have traveled to Ground Zero since then? A few of you. I had the privilege of being there 2 years ago. Ground Zero, the site of the terrorist attack on 9/11, has become perhaps America's most sacred ground. 6 months after the attack, these twin beams that you see there illuminated the sky to recreate the twin towers, and they shone for 30 days. And even today, a monument stands there, and future plans for a monument are planned there at Ground Zero so that future generations will never forget what took place in the past. Well, the Lord Jesus, in His wisdom, has given the church, in the same vein of thinking, given us, His people, a practice so that we, future generations, will never forget the sacrifice that was paid for us in the past. And we call that the Lord's Supper. Some call it communion. Some refer to it as the Lord's table. But it's the practice that was instituted by the Lord Jesus Himself. It was given to us, the church, so that as we continue on, we will never get too far from the cross and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll never forget as we move forward in the future what took place in the past. So in just a few moments, we as a church family are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Now, you may be a visitor to Hope. This may be your first time with us. And if you are a Jesus follower and you know Christ, we invite you to celebrate the Lord's Supper with us. For you, this may be the first time you've ever been in a Lord's Supper service at all. And you think, what in the world is that? I'm not really sure exactly what that's going to be all about or how Hope practices that. But very simple, we're going to take a look at Scripture for just a few moments and see what Jesus says about the Lord's Supper. How does He intend it to be? And then our ushers will come in just a few moments, and we'll pass out a piece of bread, and we'll pass out some juice, and we'll partake of that together and celebrate and remember the body of the Lord Jesus and the blood of the Lord Jesus together in just a few moments. And we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper here in just a few minutes. Now, what always happens when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, there's always a few questions that get asked, or as pastors, we're always asked these questions about the Lord's Supper. So I thought I'd just make it easy and just answer these questions before you ever even ask them. Some people say, well, Pastor Mike, at Hope, how often do you guys celebrate the Lord's Supper? Because many of you come out of different traditions and different backgrounds, and some churches will say, well, you celebrate the Lord's Supper every week. Some churches will say, no, we celebrate every month. Some will say once a year. Right around Easter, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. But as a church, we at Hope Baptist Church celebrate the Lord's Supper somewhere between 3 and 5 times a year. Because you know, the Bible says, Jesus says you're to celebrate the Lord's Supper every, what? He doesn't say. Jesus doesn't say. Paul doesn't say. He deals with it in 1 Corinthians 11, and here's what Paul says. He simply says, as often as you do this. In other words, he says it's really left up to the local church to determine how often to celebrate the Lord's Supper. So we as a church celebrate about every quarter, every 3 to 4 months together. Some say, Well, Pastor Mike, why do you dedicate the entire service to the Lord's Supper? I mean, where I come from, we kind of have it at the end of the service, or we have it at the beginning, or sometimes even after the service, totally. Why is it that Hope dedicates the entire service to the Lord's Supper? And to be real honest, just this past week, we as your pastors were getting together and we were planning out the 2010 preaching calendar, and we asked that question. You know, we've always dedicated the entire service to the Lord's Supper. Why do we do that? And is that even necessary? And we came up with a few reasons why we dedicate the whole service to the Lord's Supper. Just a few words. One word is to be genuine. In other words, we don't ever want the Lord's Supper to simply be something that we tack on at the end of the service, or the Lord's Supper is something that we just kind of go through the motions and just stick it in the middle of a service somewhere. It's a big deal to God, and we believe it's a big deal to us, so we dedicate the whole service to it. Another reason is for the word clarity. You may not believe it, but we live in the city of Las Vegas, and everyone doesn't agree on the meaning and significance of the Lord's Supper. So before we take it as a church family, we always want to open God's Word and look what Jesus had to say about the Lord's Supper, so we're all clear on why Jesus said to do the Lord's Supper, what it's all about, what it means, and how to prepare our hearts to take the Lord's Supper. And that's the third word we looked on, is the word preparation. I don't know if you realize it, but Paul, over in 1 Corinthians 11, and we're going to look at this passage in just a moment, he was talking to the church at Corinth there, and he said, in context of the Lord's Supper, he said, some in the church are sick, and some in the church have even died because they took the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Now, that's pretty serious. Because we don't, as pastors, want to serve the Lord's Supper and somebody just keel over right in the middle of the service. I mean, that just ruins a good worship service. So, I don't want that to happen. But we want to prepare our hearts, as the Bible says, to take the Lord's Supper. So we dedicate the entire service to it, to get our hearts ready and see what Jesus had to say about this thing called the Lord's Supper. Okay? So I want you to take your Bibles this morning and open up to the Gospel of Luke in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Luke chapter 22. And we're going to take just a few minutes and see what Jesus said at the very first Lord's Supper to remind us, to refresh our memories, and then we're going to partake and celebrate the Lord's Supper together here in just a few minutes, okay? If you don't have your Bibles, the words will be on the screen for you. Luke chapter 22, and we'll begin in verse 14 together. Here's what Jesus said, or here's what the Bible says, verse 14. When the hour had come, he, that's Jesus, reclined at the table, and the apostles were with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now stop right there for just a minute. Let me again set the context of what we're reading here in Luke chapter 22. The events we're reading about took place on Thursday night of Passion Week, meaning this is the Thursday night before Jesus is going to be crucified the next morning. When Jesus speaks these words that we're reading here, he's somewhere around 12 hours from the cross. And it's Thursday night, and he's gathered his apostles, his disciples, there in that upper room, and they're partaking in a meal together, the Passover meal, which you remember the Passover meal was the meal that the Jews celebrate of the Exodus out of Egypt when God delivered them out of Egypt, the Passover meal. And they'd celebrated that meal generation to generation to generation. And everyone had gathered there in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover lamb. And Jesus replaces, if you will, the Passover lamb with himself. He is now the Lamb of God. And they transform, if you will, the Passover into now what we celebrate and call the Lord's Supper. And he said, I've long to celebrate this meal with you before I suffer, verse 15. Jesus knows exactly what's about to happen to him. He knows exactly what's going to happen in just a few hours. He's going to go to a cross and die for the sins of the world. He knew what was going to happen. Verse 16, he goes on, he says, for I say to you, I shall never again eat it, speaking of the meal, until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Well, Jesus wasn't only making reference to the Lord's Supper, which they were about to celebrate. He was looking ahead to the to the meal that was going to be enjoyed in the kingdom someday when the Lord returns and establishes kingdom. See, the Passover meal was replaced by the Lord's Supper, which we celebrate, but we're not going to always celebrate the Lord's Supper, right? One day in the kingdom of God, when Jesus returns, all his people are going to gather around another meal called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Jesus says, I'm looking ahead to that day as well. So when we partake of the Lord's Supper here in just a few moments, not only do we look back to the death of the Lord Jesus, we also look ahead in anticipation of that meal we're all going to celebrate with him one day in glory when he returns, and we celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus says, I will not eat it again until the kingdom is fulfilled. Verse 17, and when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. You say, you mean they all drink out of the same cup? Good night. All you double dippers hate that. It just kind of makes you sick. Yeah, they took a cup and they all passed it around. So this morning we thought we would be real literal. We have one cup and we're all going to pass it around. No, just kidding. We all have our own cups. Don't worry. So he said, take this cup and pass it among yourselves. Verse 18, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some of the bread and given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus says two important things here. He takes the bread and he breaks it and he gives it to his disciples and he says, take this. This is my body. Now this statement has caused a lot of confusion, and a lot of you may have come out of the Catholic background where it's taught that what Jesus was saying was somehow supernaturally this bread literally becomes the body of the Lord Jesus. And as you continue to read in Scripture, and especially as Paul explains it in 1 Corinthians 11, we don't take it to mean that that bread literally became Jesus. Otherwise, that goes against the incarnation. Jesus would have been in two places at once. He's saying symbolically, this bread from generation to generation will be a symbol, a representation of my body that's about to be broken on the cross. He said, take this, break it, eat it, and do this. Present, active, indicative. Continue to do this in remembrance of me. And therefore instituted the Lord's Supper for us to carry out even today. Verse 20 says, and in the same way he took the cup, and after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. And here Jesus, the night before his crucifixion, inaugurates what we call the Lord's Supper. They took the bread, they broke it, they took the juice, the fruit of the vine, they drank it to remember the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus said, listen, church, take this as a memorial throughout generations to never forget the cross. Okay? So I want to show you two truths this morning about the Lord's Supper, and then we're going to celebrate together. Here's the first truth this morning is this. We celebrate the Lord's Supper to remember the past. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. If you want to circle in your Bibles there, that word remembrance, you can circle that. It's an important word. That word remembrance literally means a memorial. The word indicates to call back again into memory a vivid experience from the past. It's not just to think on something. Jesus says, call back into your memory a vivid experience. When we take the Lord's Supper, it is intended not that we just go through the motions, but we engage our mind and we engage our heart and we call back into mind the cross of the Lord Jesus that took place many years ago. We bring that vivid experience, that memory from Scripture into our hearts as we take the Lord's Supper here in just a few moments. It's a vivid memory. It's a memorial that stands today so we'll never forget what took place in the past. See, I'm absolutely convinced that one of the reasons Jesus has given us, the church, the Lord's Supper, is even though we're 2,000 years from the cross, no matter what comes down the pike, no matter what distractions may try to get the attention of the people of God and of the church, we have a regular practice that we put into our schedule so that we will never get too far from the cross and from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we all know we live in an age where a lot of churches tend to get away from the cross and even be ashamed of talking of the blood. But Jesus has said, I'm going to give you a practice. It's called the Lord's Supper, so you'll never be too far away from the cross. It's like an anchor, that we anchor ourselves to the cross of the Lord Jesus, that we'll never get too far from the cross. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Galatians 6:14, Paul said, but may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:22, all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Now listen, do you like forgiveness? Do you like redemption? Do you like having the Spirit of God to walk with you? Do you like having the promise of eternal life, the promise of an eternal inheritance? Do you enjoy an intimate, dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ? Did you know without the blood of Christ, none of that would be possible? So this morning when we take the bread and we take that cup in just a few moments, we in our hearts are to be full of joy and overflowing praise to the Lord. All that we enjoy as the children of God and of the people of God is made possible by the cross and the blood of the Lord Jesus. We don't ever want to get too far from that. That's why Jesus said, do this. Continue to do this in remembrance of me. Okay? You see that this morning? There's a second reason we take the Lord's Supper, and we'll speak to this just briefly and then celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Jesus said we celebrate the Lord's Supper to remember the past. But secondly, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper involves preparation. I think one of the reasons the Lord gave us the Lord's Supper is to keep us anchored in the cross. But another reason He gave us the Lord's Supper is to keep us walking pure before Him. See, one of the aspects of the Lord's Supper that Paul's very clear on, in fact, let's read this in 1 Corinthians 11, that before we take the Lord's Supper as a church and as individuals, it is our responsibility to before the Lord to get things right here. If there's anything in our life that's not right, to get things right here with other believers, if anything in our life is not right here. And He's given us this practice so that so many times a year we have to come together as a people and we have to be face to face with some things in our life that we've kind of pushed off to the side. And God says, before you take that bread, before you drink that juice, there's something in your life I want you to get right. Not out of condemnation or judgment, but out of love. If there's anything in our life that's hindering our fellowship with Him or hindering our relationship with others, God says, I want you to get that right. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11. It'll be up on the screen. Remember, Paul wrote this to the church at Corinth, a church there that had so messed up the Lord's Supper. They had taken it and totally distorted it and totally taken it out of its purpose. And they were coming to the Lord's Supper just to eat and gorge and have a big meal. And they were coming to the Lord's Supper to get drunk and to drink and made it this big revelry and this party. And it totally distorted the purpose of the Lord's Supper. And Paul writes to them to get it right. And he says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. When we take the bread and the cup in a minute, it's as though we're proclaiming the death of the Lord Jesus. It's a big deal. Therefore, Paul says, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord, which we're preparing to do in just a moment, in an unworthy manner. You might want to circle that little word, unworthy. We're going to talk about that in just a second. In an unworthy manner, now listen, shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. What does that mean? Paul says, don't give a misrepresentation to the body and the blood of the Lord. It represents the cross, the body, the blood of the Lord Jesus, salvation. You are proclaiming the gospel when you take that bread, you drink that cup. It's a big deal. Don't go into it in an unworthy manner. Paul says, but a man or a woman, a person, must examine themselves, and in so doing, He is to eat the bread and drink the cup. Paul says part of taking the Lord's Supper is to be ready in your heart. Your heart is pure before the Lord and pure before others before you drink that bread or break that bread and drink that cup. He said, don't partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. What does that mean? Is it possible to take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner? And we've gone over this before, but let me give you these just one more time. What does it mean to take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner? At least four things. Number one, to take the Lord's Supper without a relationship with Christ. In other words, to take the Lord's Supper as a not being a Jesus follower. Religious, go to church, but I've never really crossed the line of faith and given my life to Christ. See, the Lord's Supper only has meaning for you and for me in the context of a relationship with Christ. Otherwise, it's just a little bitty piece of bread and a little bitty cup of juice, and it has no meaning. So you want to let me illustrate this, and we've illustrated it like this before, but one of the things I love to do as a family is to sit down to a family meal together. And we enjoy family meals together as a family unit. And we've done a lot of that over the last couple days. And we'll do a lot of it next week. But what if I went to a stranger's house, somebody I had no relationship with, and I knocked on their door, and I just walked in and sat down at their dinner table and got me a plate and began eating. And I looked around at them. Hey, guys. Who are you? Well, I just thought I'd come share this meal with you. Well, there's two problems. Number one, we don't know you. You're not part of the family. See, the Lord's Supper is not just a religious exercise. The Lord's Supper is something that's partaken by the family of God, those who are Jesus followers and have a relationship with Christ. You say this morning, you know, as you talk, I realize I don't have a relationship with Christ. Well, this morning you can. When we're done here in just a few moments and we dismiss, I'm going to be right out there in the hall, and Pastor Shane's going to be out there and some other of our leaders here in the church, and we would love to speak with you about how you can begin a relationship with Jesus Christ that will change your life forever, right? If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you say, it's worth it and it's changed my life forever, would you say amen?
Amen.
But if you're here and you don't have that, we want you to have that this morning. But you can take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner by taking it without a relationship. Secondly, you can take it with the wrong attitude. You take it with the wrong attitude, meaning that it's just a ritual, or you're just going through the motions. And when you take that bread in just a moment, or you drink this juice, you're really thinking about the ball game this afternoon. Or thinking about that big meal you've got to plan tonight, or all those things you've got to be done. For just a few moments, say, Lord, can you block out all of that stuff? Let me focus on you for a few moments. Engage my heart. Engage my mind. This is not just a ritual. This is an exercise to engage our heart and our mind on the Lord Jesus. Thirdly, by participating with the wrong motives. Some people take the Lord's Supper because they think it somehow washes away sin. Some people sin all week and come into the Lord's Supper and say, well, I'm going to be washed by this juice and this bread. Listen, there's one thing in eternity that can take away your sin. That's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else. You can't add to that or take away from it. We're taking this bread to remember the cross. We're going to drink this juice in just a minute to remember the blood. Only the blood of Christ can wash away sin. And fourthly, we can take it in an unworthy manner by participating with an unexamined life. An unexamined life. See, this is again one of those times in our life that we invite the Holy Spirit of God to shine the light of His truth into our hearts and to be real honest before the Lord and say, Lord, I invite you to look down deep into my heart, maybe even an area I've tried to push to the side, maybe even an area nobody else knows about. God, I want you to reveal some things in my heart that aren't right. Listen, you don't have to go drumming up sin in your life. The Holy Spirit will do that. That's His job. But ask Him. So what do you mean an unexamined life? Well, a couple areas. Let me ask you, anything right now between you and the Lord that you've not made right? And not just something that you've committed that you know is wrong, that you've not confessed and made right, but there may be something that He's been nudging your heart about, or something He's laid on your heart a step of obedience, and you've been like, Lord, I'm just not ready. Lord, not now. It's not time. Lord, no. The Bible says if you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, it is what? Sin. So be real honest with the Lord and say, Lord, this is the time as a church family that I'm inviting you as the Holy Spirit to shine that light into my heart. Reveal anything that I need to make right with you. Then I want to ask you this. Is there anything between you and another brother or sister? Is there anything between you and another person that you've not made right? Is there someone that you know that comes to mind right now, a name comes to your mind, and you go, man, I treated that person wrongly. I cheated that person. I spoke ill against them. I lied to them. I misrepresented them. I had an opportunity to do good to them, and I didn't. Or I've got this big old lump in my heart called bitterness towards somebody. And I've just been kind of toying with it, but I haven't done anything about it. I haven't forgiven that person. I haven't gone to that person. I haven't done and made it right. Listen, God says, don't take the Lord's Supper in an unexamined life. If there's something between you and a brother, you need to make it right. You say, the person that comes to my mind lives 3,000 miles away. What am I supposed to do? In just a moment, we're going to bow our heads before the Lord. And you in your heart, with every intention of you, say, Lord, I hear you. I'm going to make that right today. Phone call. Somebody lives locally. You may need to pay a visit. There may be somebody in this room. When we bow our heads in just a moment, you realize I've got to go to that person and I need to ask their forgiveness before I partake the Lord's Supper. Do that. We encourage you to do that. Okay? God says, don't take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. But then, whatever the Lord reveals, the Bible says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, anything in our lives practically between the Lord, confess it, make it right, and enjoy the forgiveness in Christ. Anything between another brother, go, make it right, and enjoy that fellowship God has for you. And then let's celebrate the Lord's Supper together and remember the blood and the cross of the Lord Jesus on which we stand. All right? So what I want to invite you now to do is all everybody in the house, just bow your heads right there where you're seated. Don't worry about your neighbor. This is between you and the Lord. If you need to go to someone, go to them. Our team is going to come play softly, and we're going to give you just a few moments before the ushers come. They'll come in just a moment, and then we're going to pass out the Lord's Supper to you right there in your seat. But as our team comes and plays, I want you to spend some time right now with the Lord. And I'm going to read a couple passages out loud just over you that you just listen to and do business with the Lord. 1 John chapter 1 says this, if we say that we have fellowship with Christ and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sin, we name it to the Lord, we agree with the Lord, He, Jesus, is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I encourage you just to do business with the Lord right there in your seats. I want to ask our ushers to be making your way towards the front as we prepare to pass out the Lord's Supper.